Last time on the Skip and Josh podcast.
We're staying at the Wynn Hotel.
Yeah.
We all have Alexas in our room.
Yeah.
And you said to Alexa, play the Skip and Josh podcast.
And she did.
And she did. And apparently we're on Audible.
I didn't even know. When Alexa said playing the Skip and Josh podcast from Audible, I was like, you never put us on Audible. But apparently somehow we got on there.
You're listening to the Skip and Josh podcast with Skip Sherman and Josh Obadia.
Okay, Skip, so today we're going to count down players that have played their entire career for only one team. But before we get to that, I have to tell you a little story. You know, the listeners don't know, but when we're not recording, we often talk about different topics that we might use on a podcast. And we actually, in fact, have a list of about 30 different topics, most of which probably will never see the light of day. And we also get suggestions from listeners. You may recall 6 months ago, or maybe even a year ago, I had a great topic and you loved it. But we both agreed that we couldn't do it because it might get us into trouble.
What was that?
It was most annoying coworkers.
Oh, well, I mean, you can't name names, but I have a long list too.
So the thing is, we couldn't do it for two reasons. One, if we name names and our coworkers are listening, it'd be pretty awkward.
Yeah.
But the other reason is, even if we name names, none of our listeners know who they are, so it wouldn't even matter to them.
But it's not just that. Even if you don't name names, if by chance a coworker listens and you describe them, they will know.
Of course they will know. So we're not going to do that topic, but why did I mention it to you? Because about a month ago, one of these coworkers annoyed me, and I decided to take out a pad and a pen, and I wrote down, I made my list of my most annoying or the most annoying people that I work with. I made a list. I just wrote it down by hand, not on a computer, because that way, you know, anything you put on your computer can somehow get shared in cyberspace with the whole world.
It's very therapeutic to make a list like that.
Oh, I felt great after making the list, but I didn't stop at seven like we normally do. I had to go all the way to 10 because there were so many.
Okay, that's great. So, like, are you going to talk about them now?
Or No. I just wanted to tell you that I did that and it felt great. And, you know, you should do it. And the listeners at home should do it too. It's like, it's better than yoga.
It is. Well, this is like, we used to have a segment, public service announcement. So there it is, right there.
It's just a public service announcement.
So now that I got that off my chest, I'm wondering if we had any listener mail from the last couple of episodes that we did.
Mailbag.
Well, I mean, the last episode wasn't like a normal episode. We were at the pool at the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas and decided let's turn on the recorder and do our 250th episode. And so we did get a congratulations from several people. I mean, obviously, we talked about some of them last time, but our friend Jeff here in the West Island wished us congratulations on 250. He says we're a must listen. So
that's
thank
great.
You, Jeff, for that. I did get like personal messages from other people, you know, that saw posts on social media about 250th episode. I don't want to name everybody, but I just want to thank everybody who texted or messaged me or you know, reached out to me in any way. And thank you for listening and thank you for supporting us. So back to like the episode before that where we talked about fictional sports television shows.
Yes.
Well, our friend Jesse, of course, in Texas did message us with his list, and he had Sports Night as his favorite and Friday Night Lights, which are definitely ones that we already mentioned. Mm-hmm. All the same ones that we mentioned, Sports Night, Friday Night Lights, Ted Lasso, Pitch, which you mentioned, but also and Brockmire, but also Ballers. You know the show Ballers? It's with...
Yeah, I watched a few episodes of Ballers specifically because it's about sports and I wanted to see what it was all about.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm not sure if I was even able to watch all of season one. It just got too annoying and then I stopped.
And he also mentioned The White Shadow, which is something that we mentioned off air.
Yes.
But I'm like way too, I'm too young to really remember that. I just remember the commercials for it.
I remember my brother used to watch that show, but I don't know anything about it. So that's why I didn't include it.
My sister messaged us also, and she also said ballers.
Okay, well, there you go.
Derek, our friend of the show who lives just right here near me, said he didn't really know any of the shows we're talking about. Well, I mean, obviously he did. He was being sarcastic, but he said he kind of went along the lines of like, we obviously have too much time and watch too much TV. So he didn't want to mention his list of shows, but he did agree with us that Major League Baseball is completely screwed up, which is something else that we did talk about that time. And it's gotten more screwed up. I don't know if you've seen every game, people are getting ejected. Umpires are losing their minds. It's like baseball's really like kind of wacky right now.
Yes. And you were talking about how, Josh Donaldson was leading off for the Yankees. In the games that he doesn't lead off, I think Aaron Hicks leads off for them, which also doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, well, not much better. And then our friend Mark in Philadelphia sent me some funny texts saying he knows that they're not shows about sports, but there's many episodes. And he said specifically Seinfeld has great sports episodes. For example, Keith Hernandez and George working for the Yankees and all the episodes with Steinbrenner. And then, of course, The Simpsons has the iconic episode of Homer at the Bat where all the baseball players are in it.
He forgot to mention that episode where they go to the Yankees-Baltimore game. And
I love that.
And Kramer is yelling at 230 Hayes. Ain't going to cut it in this league.
He doesn't say Charlie Hayes,
no,
but it is.
No, but we know it is because at that time, Charlie Hayes was hitting 230, I think.
Yeah, and he was just new to the Yankees and the whole thing and everything.
Exactly.
And you know, last time we also talked about sports betting, how there's this, every commercial on TV is sports betting.
That's it.
The crazy thing is, my uncle came over to my house for Passover. We hadn't even released the episode yet. He hadn't heard it. And we just recorded it like a few days before. And he was like, I got to tell you something. What's all these sports gambling websites that I see commercials for every 2 minutes? And I was like, me and Josh just talked about that this morning. It was wild. It was like he read my mind.
Your uncle is right on the pulse of everything. I love it.
He really is. And also, you mentioned the Score app last time when we talked about the sports betting, how there's this bet tab now.
Yes.
I cannot stand it. It makes me want to uninstall the Score and find something else.
Well, why you just don't have to go to that tab. Like I never go
to
that
tab.
But even when you
look on like the Score's page, there's all this betting info now. Everywhere you go on the app, there's something about betting. Like it's kind of driving me nuts. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention you one more thing.
Okay.
Our friend Sean that we went with to Las Vegas.
Yes.
So didn't he make it clear that he wanted to listen to our 250th episode? He couldn't wait to listen to it. He was going to listen to it. How many times he told us he was so excited to listen to the episode we were going to record at the pool in Vegas?
I don't remember him saying that.
Well, I remember him saying it several times.
Okay.
And I sent him the link.
Yeah.
Sent him the link as soon as it was posted. And I haven't heard back, and I'm pretty sure he hasn't listened.
There's no chance he's going to listen to it. Zero.
There's zero chance, right? Zero.
None of the guys we went with on that trip are going to listen to our show. We need new friends.
Yeah. Yes. So we have this great category today, Josh, of players that have played their entire career on one team.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because obviously we're going to go back in time a little bit more. My list is much more nostalgic than I thought it would be. Players don't play for one team anymore. It doesn't happen often. It's rare. And it's funny because you messaged me saying, like, can you include active players? I was like, well, you could include active players, but like it wouldn't be fair to say like Nick Suzuki, you know, because he's played 3 years on the Canadiens.
Well, wait a minute. I need to adjust my list then.
but certainly like Sidney Crosby, Alexander Ovechkin, I think, could merit being on either of our lists or even Carey Price, right? Like, I think those are fair examples, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. So how did you come up with your list? Was it difficult, easy, quick?
It was very difficult, in fact, and it took me a long time because, you know, so there's seven people. I got seven people on my list, but maybe only three or four of them are actually, I would call, one of my favorite players. The other three or four are just like, I needed to fill up the list.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they've all played on only one team, but I wouldn't say that, you know, this particular guy, like especially number seven, he was not one of my favorite players.
Okay.
He's a good player.
I mean,
but like when he was playing, I would never say, oh, he's one of my favorite players.
I think every guy on my list, you're right. I can't say that every guy on my list at the time, I would say, oh my God, I love this player. Mm. But looking back now, I have like what you would call like an admiration or a respect, like looking back in hindsight now.
Yes.
And I certainly liked them in some way or respected them in some way, even when they were playing, even if I was cheering against them in some cases.
Yes.
It's interesting because I have a lot of honorable mentions, but I have a list of not like players that you think or that for me are my favorite players mm-hmm. or you think that should be able to be on this list and they can't be. Like Joe Montana cannot make this list and he's my favorite football player ever. Right. Jerry Rice, my second favorite football player ever, cannot make this list. He was played on multiple teams. We know, everybody who's listened to us knows that we're huge Montreal Expos fans, which is actually almost impossible to include any Expo because they were the farm team for every other major league team for so many years. Like all the great players we had all played on different teams, you know, even Wayne Gretzky, like the greatest hockey player in history.
Right.
Like, you know, so, I mean, and then there's certain players that should be on everybody's list and people are going to yell at me. Why didn't you include Mario Lemieux? Well, I didn't include Mario Lemieux because I'm a Gretzky guy and I'm not a Lemieux guy.
Right.
I didn't include Kobe Bryant or Magic Johnson because I'm not a Lakers guy.
Right.
And you could see where I'm going with my list, right?
Oh, I know for sure at least one of the guys on your list, 100%.
Yeah. And then like Derek Jeter, I'm not a Yankees guy. Derek Jeter was great, but he's not on my list. Same thing with like Tim Duncan. Tons of respect for Tim Duncan, but the most boring superstar in history, and I never really like cheered for him or against him or really paid much attention to him. Mm-hmm. Right. So that's my honorable mention in quick. And then also I mentioned Ovechkin, Crosby, and Carey Price. I didn't include any of them on my list and mm-hmm. I could have, I guess.
A lot of the guys that have only played for one team, their careers ended before I started watching sports. You know, like I never saw Maurice Richard play. I never saw Jean Béliveau play, you know, stuff like that.
I didn't even consider those players. If they weren't playing when I was watching, I didn't put them on the list. So I didn't go back to like the old, I didn't put Joe DiMaggio on my list or like you said, Maurice Richard or whatever. I mean, actually like Babe Ruth can't even make the list.
Well, he was on more than one team.
Yeah. So how do you want to start?
Well, this was your topic, right? So I guess you need to go first.
Number seven,
Josh.
Yeah.
George Brett.
Well, that's a good choice.
George Brett, you know, 13-time All-Star, won the World Series once, won the, you know, MVP once. Like, one of the greatest hitters ever. Like, I don't know how much you remember, like, the 1985 World Series. Like, George Brett went through his whole career as, like, an also-ran, and people resigned themselves, like, the Royals are never going to win the World Series. And then they finally did. And it's all because of George Brett. Like, this guy was a one-man wrecking machine in 85 playoffs. He could not be stopped. Like, the guy was getting hits, homers, doubles, every time they needed it. And, of course, you know, everybody remembers the famous Pintar game against the Yankees with George Brett running out of the dugout looking like a lunatic. Unfortunately, like, that's a lot of people's first impression of George Brett, like this crazy lunatic screaming at an umpire. And I tend to look at it as like, well, he was just like, very competitive.
I mean, I would have done the same thing. Like, it's Pintar. Like, I don't even understand the whole Pintar rule to begin with. So I don't disagree with him at all.
I don't know how putting Pintar higher, 1 inch higher on the bat could have helped him to hit a home run.
Neither do I.
So anyways, my number seven, that's George Brett. I have a lot of baseball on my list. You're going to see.
Okay. So as I was saying to you, like, you know, the top three, maybe four, are actually players that I really liked when they were playing, but then I had to fill up the list. So number seven for me, and this alludes to the fact that, you know, you have respect for them after they retire and you realize how good their career was. So number seven for me is the guy who you just mentioned, Derek Jeter. So Derek Jeter, he's a Hall of Famer, and all but one of the players on my list is a Hall of Famer. He won the World Series 5 times. He was the Rookie of the Year. He was an All-Star 14 times. He won 5 Gold Gloves and 5 Silver Sluggers. But one thing that you don't see, by the way, like, not a huge home run hitter, only 260 homers, but he had a .310 batting average, which, by the way, nobody hits over 300 anymore these days.
Yeah. And 260 homers is nothing to sneeze at.
Oh, no, it's nothing to sneeze at all. But one thing that you don't see on his baseball reference page, which I have a lot of respect for Derek about this, is that he had very attractive girlfriends.
Oh, his list of ex-girlfriends is gigantic.
But not just gigantic. They're all beautiful.
Yeah, well, he was like the most eligible bachelor in New York for like his whole career until now. He's married now, I believe.
I don't even know.
Yeah, I think he is. But like for most of his career, imagine you're like 24 years old and you're the toast of New York, you know?
It's like the best thing to be.
The best thing to be. So yeah, I'll get to my number six. Like you mentioned, actually all my lists are Hall of Famers.
Okay.
And actually, I think one of the criteria for making the list is you can ask yourself the question, if you go to the stadium where this person played, is there a statue of this person or should there be a statue of this person, right? And like George Brett, like I just said, and Derek Jeter, like these are faces of their team, right?
Number six.
So number six on my team, he does qualify for that respect. Although you may raise an eyebrow, and that's Robin Yount. So, okay. Yeah. So he obviously played his whole career on the Brewers. He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. So you can't say, well, wasn't a great player. Mm-hmm. Like Robin Yount won the MVP in '82, and then again in '89. But to point out here is in '82 he was a shortstop, and then in '89 he was a center fielder. Right. So, it was quite an accomplishment. You know, like I think I started following baseball in like 79, 80, right? And 82 is really when I started to really take notice in stats and really get involved in box scores and reading everything I could about baseball. And Robin Yount was like one of the first like offensive shortstops, like at the time that was like, wow, look at this guy. He does everything, you know? And then of course I was introduced to Stratomatic in 1982. And Robin Yount's Stratomatic baseball card in '82 is very, very renowned. It's quite a card.
Yeah, I think he was one of the first shortstops that was able to hit. Because usually, you know, your shortstop and even your second baseman was just a guy who would bat like either they would bat second or eighth in your batting order. And as long as they could field, it didn't matter what else they did.
That's right. So there are a few others, and I'm going to mention someone else in my list later on who broke in at the same time. He was one of the first like shortstops that you're like, wow, this guy can hit. He could do everything. He could run. And you know, the 82 Brewers were a really great team that people don't realize how close they were to winning the World Series.
I remember that World Series. So next on my list, so again, I had to fill up my list, right? I had trouble getting seven, and wow. I don't think I ever saw this guy play because he retired just as I was starting to learn about sports, but he is a Hall of Famer, and it's Ken Dryden. So Ken Dryden is quite phenomenal. He only played eight seasons, yet he was an All-Star six times, and he won six Stanley Cups in those eight seasons. And by the way, I mean, I'm sure you know this, he was the Rookie of the Year in his rookie year, but before he was the Rookie of the Year, he won the Conn Smythe Trophy as the MVP of the playoffs, which is quite rare. I don't know that anyone's ever done that other than him.
No, he came in, they started using him like the very end of the season for a few games, and then they put him in for the playoffs, they won the cup, and then the next year he was a rookie and he won the rookie of the year.
Right. And he also, I don't think I mentioned, he won the Vezina Trophy five times. 258 wins in his career, a 2.24 goals against average, 46 shutouts, you know, and he retired way too early. He was still relatively young. He was still healthy. He could have played longer. He would have had better stats, but he's already in the Hall of Fame. So I guess what more could he have done?
Well, I think when you talk about Ken Dryden, you know, he famously said, I think he sat out for a year or half a year because the Canadians felt he deserved more pay. And then they said, well, too bad. And he's like, okay, well, too bad. And then the Canadians did not do well without him. So they kind of begged him to come back. Mm-hmm. but, you know, obviously he's been a member of parliament and he's done a lot of stuff outside of hockey. He best-selling author, right? His book, The Game, is like probably one of the greatest sports books like ever written. A lot of people consider, even if you're a non-hockey fan, You know, like, I think it illustrates just like the psychology of like professional, being a professional athlete and what it takes.
I forgot to mention he's a lawyer.
Yeah, he had aspirations outside of hockey, right? So I think he, like, unlike most professional athletes, he looked at his time at the Montreal, as the Canadiens goalie, as like one chapter in his life, and then he was going to the next chapter, you know. So good on him. I saw him speak once at an event. He was very, very engaging and very good.
Nice.
Number five.
So number five, Josh. I told you I couldn't include Joe Montana. I could have included John Elway, but I didn't. Instead, I chose Dan Marino. And it's not that I was a huge fan of Dan Marino, but the thing is, like, he was in the other conference. I was a 49ers fan when I was younger, and Marino was far away from me, although we did beat them in the Super Bowl that one year. Everybody talks about it because he never won the Super Bowl. You know, he's the best quarterback, maybe the best player in any sport never to win a championship. This guy was like so ahead of his time. Like, I've talked about it a lot. Anytime Marino's name comes up on our show, I always tell you the same thing. When you look at the stats right now, in the National Football League, almost every quarterback throws for 4,000 yards. Even stiffs that are lousy throw for 4,000 yards.
Yeah, the game is so different today.
You're the 20th best quarterback in the league throws for 4,000 yards or 3,800 or something like this, right? In 84, he threw for 5,000 yards and 48 touchdowns. This is in 1984 when offenses were built around their running backs and quarterbacks didn't throw 50 times a game. Like, he was the first one to, like, they just let him loose, you know? The one thing about Marino that was always the greatest is that, look, Marino is not mobile, right? He was the drop back quarterback. Slow, couldn't move. But the guy was unsackable. Like, he had this release. Like, he would just let go of the ball. Like, and that was before you could throw the ball away in those years. You weren't allowed to just scramble and throw the ball away. He had just had a beautiful throwing motion, crazy quick release, and also the star of the movie Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, Laces Out.
There you go. So the next guy on my list is the only one who's not in the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
But I had to include him because when you Google players who only played for one team, and you have to do it like by sport, right?
Right.
So Wikipedia is actually pretty good for this because when you get the list of, let's say, all the baseball players or all the hockey players who only played for one team, you can sort it by like the year that they played. You can sort it alphabetically. Or you can also sort it by the team they played on. And there's only one Montreal Expo who played his entire career on the Montreal Expos. Do you know who it is?
Well, it's crazy because in the intro to this, I told you that it was really almost impossible to pick an Expo.
It's almost impossible, but there's one. And so I had to include him because I wanted to mention the Expos.
Is it Steve Rogers?
It is Steve Rogers.
There you go. My brain is working, Josh. We have proof of life.
Yes.
I still have it.
So Steve Rogers, I mean, you know, he's not a Hall of Famer. He didn't win the World Series. He actually, in his rookie year, he finished second in Rookie of the Year voting. So Steve Rogers played 13 years. He was an All-Star five times. He had 158 wins and 152 losses. His ERA was...
Played on some really lousy teams.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. He had an ERA of 3.17, a career ERA of 3.17, 37 shutouts. And this stat, I love this stat. And I mean, you know, this is exactly why baseball sucks now. He pitched 129 complete games in his career. Like,
oh yeah,
that's never going to happen.
He was the master of like the near no hitter. There's so many times where he would throw these like one hitters or two hit games, you know, complete games. Like Steve Rogers gets a lot of crap from Expos fans because he gave up, you know, the biggest home run that against us that ever happened, which was in the 81 playoffs against Rick Monday. You know, he gave it up. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But baseball fans are so stupid. Fans in general are so stupid. The Expos are not even in that game if it's not for Steve Rogers.
For sure.
Right? Like, Steve Rogers was the best pitcher in the league, or one of the best, for a good 5 years at least. In that same 81 playoffs, it was a best of three series against Philadelphia, the series before.
Yeah.
And he won two games against Steve Carlton.
That's right.
And he also actually got the winning hit in the third game. He got the hit to drive in the run.
Yeah.
So like, to talk about Steve Rogers in any other way other than being like one of the greatest Expos starting pitchers ever. I mean, look, I don't consider him the greatest Expos starting pitcher ever. I think Dennis Martinez is right there with him. And then obviously Pedro, but it's a shorter, you know, Pedro wasn't there as long,
mm-hmm.
but that's the three, right? You know?
Yeah, no, he's great. There's no question about it. I mean, but if you'd asked me who's your favorite Expo of all time, you know, Steve Rogers wouldn't be one of the top three or four players I would name to you, but because he's the only one that played his entire career on the Expos, he makes this list.
I love it. That's great. I love an Expo shout out.
Number four.
So I'm going to go to my number four, Josh, and this is where I mentioned before that I had another shortstop, and that's Cal Ripken Jr. Now, like, when I said the criteria is, can you make a statue? Of course you can make a statue. Cal Ripken is, like, literally the face of the Baltimore Orioles franchise, you know, like the Orioles go back way back. You can talk about Frank Robinson and like Brooks Robinson, and then they had Eddie Murray and whatever, but like the greatest Oriole ever is definitely Cal Ripken. Like there's no doubt about it. Everybody knows like 2,632 consecutive games. That's what he's known for. Josh, 19 All-Star appearances.
Yep.
That's absurd, right? He did win one World Series in 83, and he won the MVP twice in 83, and then later on, I think in 90 or 91. He, like you said before, like he broke the mold. He broke it in 82. He hit, you know, 20 something home runs, and then he went on to hit, I don't know, I don't have it written here, his home run totals, but he was like one of the first like home run hitting shortstops. Not just like a shortstop that hit home runs. He was like a 6'2" guy. Like he was like a third baseman playing shortstop, you know, like you didn't have big guys like that playing. You had Bucky Dent and Tim Foley and Bill Russell, like you said, guys that hit eighth, right? Guys that couldn't hit and hit eighth,
right? Exactly.
When you talk about like the guys that hit eighth, I always think of Bucky Dent and Bill Russell, the Dodgers shortstop and the Yankee shortstop. Like these guys sucked.
And Chris Spire.
They sucked. Chris Spire.
He was the
Chris Spire was like a little bit better hitter than those other guys, but a little bit.
I don't even know about that. I think they were equally weak hitters.
Yeah. So anyways, Cal Ripken, that's the baseball's all-time Iron Man, and he obviously played his whole career on the Orioles.
Okay, so next on my list, you already mentioned him once earlier, and it's Robin Yount. So you said a lot about Robin
Yount. I thought you were going
to
disagree with that pick. I mean, you love him.
No, why would I disagree? First of all, you know that I love the Milwaukee Brewers logo. It could be my favorite logo in all of sports. So that's one thing.
I do. But I am aware. I am aware of your affection for the Brewers logo.
In fact, I just bought Milwaukee Brewers socks when we were in Vegas, but
I was surprised. You were like, I'm like, what are you going to get? He's like, what are you going to get? And you're like, I think I'm going to get these Brewers socks. I'm like, okay, go for it.
They're comfortable socks, actually. So, but, you know, Robin Yount, as you said, he started out as a shortstop, and I always wanted to be a shortstop when I played. So I liked a lot of shortstops, and he was one of them. And as I mentioned earlier, he was the first one that really could actually hit. And they, you know, they moved him to the outfield because he was getting older. They wanted to extend his career. So, you know, you know, outfielders can play a little bit longer because there's less wear and tear on your body. But he's in the Hall of Fame. He played 20 years. He was an MVP twice. He was an All-Star three times. He won the Silver Slugger three times. He only won one Gold Glove, actually. And also, you know, 251 homers and a .285 batting average. But you know, it was my brother who introduced me to baseball, and my brother was a big Robin Yount fan as well, because my brother, as you were mentioning, my brother used to play Stratomatic all the time. So, I mean, he didn't tell me specifically that this was the best Stratomatic card or whatever, because I was so young, I didn't really understand what was going on. But that's how I first discovered Robin Yount. So he's on my list.
But going back to Stratomatic, like at the time when you had your team or whatever kind of league you're in, whatever you're doing, it was like, same thing in regular baseball. Your best player all of a sudden was your shortstop, right? Like your best hitter card was this guy who could play shortstop, and he could play defense too. So it was like, wow, this is amazing. You got to get Robin Yount. It was like you had to have him, you know?
First pick in your draft.
Number three.
We've been very baseball heavy. So I'm going to go to the world of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I almost forgot to include this guy on my list. And then Matthew reminded me. He's like, what about Dirk Nowitzki? And I'm like, yeah, of course. How could I forget about Dirk Nowitzki? I'm even wearing a Dirk Nowitzki jersey on our website when you look at the picture montage at the top. Right?
I completely forgot. So, I mean, I remember the photo, but I completely forgot about that.
I mean, I just love this guy. Like, he came into the league, like all these European guys, they gave him no credit. Even when he was the best player in the league, people still try to poke holes at his game. 14-time All-Star, NBA champ once, Finals MVP once. He should have had two NBA championships. He was completely robbed of another one the year that they played the Heat in the finals. Completely robbed. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, I don't like to blame officials, but the officiating in those games was brutal. And the reason why I love Dirk Nowitzki is, like, he single-handedly won the Dallas Mavericks that championship when they beat the Heat. Like, he single-handedly did it. They could not stop him. Do you remember it was, like, LeBron and Dwayne Wade had teamed up and they were on the Heat and everyone's like, they're going to win a million championships, and they were ahead in the series, and then LeBron and Wade, they were caught on camera kind of mocking Dirk because he was sick in the game that they lost. They were kind of mocking him, and Dirk didn't say anything. And instead, he just went out there and then just destroyed them for the rest of the series, literally doing whatever he wanted and scoring whenever he wanted. And, like, of course, you know, the iconic Dirk Nowitzki shot. I don't know if you know it, Josh, but basketball fans do. He has this back to the basket, turnaround jumper, fading away on one foot with one foot in the air. Like, and actually in last night's game, Jason Tatum did one. And, like, players do it from time to time, but, like, Dirk started that, you know? So that's my number three.
Very nice. So the next guy on my list is someone that you also mentioned. He's not in your list, but you did mention him. And that's John Elway. So I don't know if you know that I'm sort of a Denver Broncos fan. Like, if anyone ever asks me, who's your favorite NFL team? I'll always say Denver. I mean, I haven't really followed them in the past, you know, 10 years. But they were my favorite
I remember when I first met you. I was like, what's your favorite football team? You're like, well, I guess the Denver Broncos. I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, well, I like them because of John Elway, because back then, as you said, there wasn't a lot of passing in the NFL, and John Elway was one of the few quarterbacks who would throw the ball a lot, and I always thought, you know, that makes so much sense. Why would you run the ball when you can throw the ball so much further in a shorter amount of time?
It took every coach and offensive coordinator like 20 years to change the philosophy of offense, like, that most of us realized right away, like, at a young age, you know?
So I really like that. And so that's why I started to follow the Broncos and John Elway. And I only really started watching football around the time where, you know, the Broncos kept beating the Cleveland Browns in the playoffs every year. So that was around the time I started. So, of course, like, I thought this guy was great, because it says here on his football reference page that he had 40 game winning drives, 31 comebacks. Yeah. I don't even know how they count that, but whatever. He's a Hall of Famer. He won the Super Bowl twice, of course, as we all know. He was a Pro Bowler 9 times, Super Bowl MVP once, 148 wins and 82 losses. Now, this is interesting. His total yards thrown, 51,475. That's not the interesting part. Exactly 300 touchdowns thrown. But
love it.
But he threw a lot of interceptions. I didn't realize this.
Oh, yeah.
226 interceptions. That's a lot.
Because when he first broke in, they started him right away. You remember, like, first of all, he threatened to go play for the Yankees, right? So there was some maneuvering at the draft, and that's how he ended up on the Broncos. He threw the ball a ton at the beginning. Like, his first 5 years were, like, up and down. Sometimes he would look amazing. Other times he would look brutal. And then you mentioned all those comebacks, because I remember, like, the young John Elway was, like, for 3.5 quarters, you'd be like, he looks totally average. What are they trying to do? Like, what's going on? And then when they were behind and the offensive and the coach would be like, well, just go do run the 2-minute offense, then he would go crazy. And then you need to look, and he run around and throw the ball 100 miles. He had a crazy arm. No one threw the ball like John Elway.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, that's part of his mystique, I guess.
Number two.
Number two for me. I hope you're gonna like this pick, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
It might be the same as my number two.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe. Kirby Puckett.
Ah, okay.
This is one of my favorite baseball players of all time. Look, I wasn't a Twins fan. I really didn't, but like there was something about the way this guy played with so much like joy and enthusiasm, had a smile on his face, looked like he looked like a kid playing a kid's game, and he played it freaking well. And he was also fat. I don't want to fat shame people, especially Kirby, who's not even alive. He passed away in 2006. This guy was not like the image of a professional athlete, even when he was young, even when he was like a rookie, he was kind of fat. And somehow he like played center field and he used to run around and make catches, steal bases, hit home runs. Like the guy, like he was just like a joy to watch. Like, and when you look up his career, you know, like the 1991 World Series that the Twins won, he made this crazy catch up against the wall in game six.
I remember that catch.
Remember like they had like this short wall and they had these like glass, like almost glass going up to make it a little bit higher.
Didn't they have like padding?
The garbage bags, but they had gotten rid of the garbage bags and they replaced it with the nicer kind of wall, but it was still a weird kind of fence. And then he hit a grand slam in the 11th inning. And that's the famous call that you always hear by Jack Buck when he said, "And we'll see you tomorrow night," because it was forcing game seven. Like he was a throwback, you know, like, you know, today, like a guy just threw a no hitter last week. Right. We talked about no hitters.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's easy to throw no hitters now because the players don't know how to get hits.
Right.
They either hit a home run or they strike out or they walk.
Exactly.
Right. Kirby Puckett got hits. Like when you look at his career, there's many, many 200 hit seasons, right? Like the guy just got hits and he just played baseball with like a great attitude. And I love watching him play.
That's a great pick. So I wouldn't describe him as fat, but I would describe him as round. And there were a couple other players that I would describe as round. And one of those players is the next guy on my list.
Tony Gwynn.
Tony Gwynn, absolutely. So Tony Gwynn was a Hall of Famer, or is a Hall of Famer, and he played 20 seasons. He was an All-Star 15 times. He won 5 Gold Gloves, 7 Silver Sluggers, and most importantly, he won the batting title 8 times. You know that, I know that 1994 season, I don't like to talk about it because it makes me very emotional because they never finished the season. But in 1994, I'm sure you know that when they did cancel the season, Tony Gwynn's batting average was .394. So he was flirting with .400, which no one has done since, Carl Yastrzemski, I think?
No.
Ted Williams. Anyway.
Ted Williams, the last guy to hit. Ted Williams is the last player to hit .400. The closest we've come is Tony Gwynn in that season.
Mm-hmm.
And George Brett hit .380 one year. Rod Carew hit like .370 something one year. But like, yeah, it's almost impossible. In the day and age we're in now, where I just said people don't get hits, a .400 batting average, that record's never going to be broken.
Oh, no chance. I'm not done with Tony Gwynn. So his career batting average, .338. Now,
that's nuts.
He only hit 135 homers, but I don't even care because to me, when I was that age watching baseball, it was more impressive to me that you could hit for a high average than hitting for power. That was more impressive to me. And he often, yes, he's in the Hall of Fame now, but oftentimes during his career, people would not give him as much credit as he deserved. They always said, you know, he never gets that many RBIs. Of course he never gets that many RBIs because look at the teams he was playing on. For most of his career, the Padres were no good. Who's he going to drive in? So,
and not only that, he batted leadoff or second most of his career.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I always liked Tony Gwynn. And so he's number two on my list.
Just to follow up with what you're saying about like he didn't always get the credit. So he broke in the same time as Wade Boggs, right?
Yeah.
So you had Wade Boggs in the other league who was hitting .340, .350. He was hitting singles, all in doubles. And, you know, like, but like as the careers went on and as their careers got more established, Tony Gwynn is 1,000 times better player and a better hitter than Wade Boggs. It's not even it. When I think now that they were like linked in the same conversations always, now it seems so impossible because Tony Gwynn was such a better hitter. It's not even funny. So, and you don't forget, like, I don't know if you have his stats up in front of you.
I do.
Like, because you called him round and at the beginning. But he stole a lot of bases, like, in his first, like, five seasons when he was not as round, I guess.
Right? I don't
like,
have, his, I don't have stolen his stolen base totals in front of me, unfortunately.
Yeah. But he did steal a lot of bases those first, like, three or four or five seasons. And then after that, he kind of, you know, was basically just more of a station-to-station guy.
Yeah, yeah. He could run. He could definitely run early in his career.
Number one.
All right. We're at number one. You know who it is.
I know who your number one is.
It's Larry Bird. My favorite basketball player of all time.
He's the guy from the McDonald's commercials, right?
Is he doing commercials for McDonald's now?
He used to.
I guess. He's the guy that did those Converse commercials with Magic Johnson.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's how I know him.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you going to say about Larry Bird? Three times NBA champion, three times league MVP. I have often talked about the fact that, you know, he's widely regarded as like one of the greatest players of all time. Certainly the greatest shooter. You know, we're in the age of 3-point shots now. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but like a guy like Steph Curry takes more threes in a season than like Larry Bird did in like his whole career, you know, like they take so many threes, like the whole NBA offenses are designed around taking 3-point shots. Right. And whereas in Larry Bird's era, it was all designed around shoot as close as you can to the basket so that you'll have a better chance of it going in. Right. That was the philosophy back then. Right. And like, we know you've seen all the videos of him winning those 3-point shooting contests. You know how deadly he was from three. Like, I just wonder now if you put Larry Bird with the way the spacing is on the NBA courts now on offenses, how guys stand in the corner and everybody's spaced around the 3-point line, how many threes he would have hit and made. It would be pretty incredible to see. And so I started to say, like, as a kid in Montreal, if you started to follow the NBA, this is in the 80s, you had three choices of which team to follow and which player was going to be your favorite player by default. So you either liked the Celtics and Larry Bird, the Sixers and Dr. J, or the Lakers and Magic Johnson, or maybe Kareem if you started a little bit before. But, like, that was it. You didn't have you could not be a fan of the Milwaukee Bucks and Sidney Moncrief.
Well, because I think for a span of like 12 years or maybe more, those are the only three teams that ever won the championship.
It's true. And it's true. And the NBA has a thing about, like, there's not as many teams that have ever won the championship in the NBA. It's not a long list. Teams tend to win over and over, right? Franchises tend to win multiple championships. So that's my number one. It's like, it's Larry Bird.
Great. I knew that was going to be your number one. So I have no...
I don't know who your number one's going to be.
Well, I have no basketball players on my list at all. And in fact, I only had one hockey player, and it was a player that I never even really saw him play that much. Mm-hmm. So my number one is a baseball player, and you've mentioned mm-hmm. him, and you should be able to guess who it is. It's very easy, actually. It's Cal Ripken Jr.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So, again, because I always wanted to play shortstop, and he was a shortstop. Plus, this other thing, he was on the Baltimore Orioles. And when I played baseball in St. Laurent, where I grew up, the St. Laurent baseball team at the time was always the Orioles. So I had the same uniform that Cal Ripken did. I thought that was pretty cool when I was a kid, obviously.
My son played baseball about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we played against St. Laurent,
mm-hmm.
and they were still the Orioles with the black and orange.
Oh, cool. So he's a Hall of Famer. He won only one World Series in 1983. He played 21 years. He was the Rookie of the Year in his rookie season. Only an MVP twice, but an All-Star 19 times. Won two Gold Gloves and won 8 Silver Sluggers. Now, you mentioned, you know, 2,632 consecutive games. Obviously, everybody knows that. What's more impressive to me is that he played 8,264 consecutive innings. That is right. Unbelievable to me. So, you know, obviously I love this guy because, like, look at this guy. He plays all the time. He doesn't get injured. He plays the right way. And he puts up good numbers. His career batting average was .276. You know, nothing great, but he did have...
But he had a lot of home runs.
Yeah, he had 431 home runs. And he also was, like, similar build to Robin Yount. He wasn't your typical... shortstop, you know? He was a relatively taller guy, and I think he moved over to third base later in his career, whereas Robin Yount...
They tried They tried to, yeah, but it didn't. That was really the end.
Yeah, you know? It was. And then it's interesting because in his last season, he was named to the All-Star team as a third baseman. But then just before the game started, Alex Rodriguez walked over to third base and made Cal Ripken play shortstop, and Rodriguez played third.
That's good. So I love that. I forgot. I remember that, but I completely forgotten that about it until you mentioned it.
Yeah, that's probably the nicest thing Alex Rodriguez has ever done.
Don't get me started about A-Rod.
So Cal Ripken is number one on my list.
Good list. I like your list.
I like yours.
Good topic. I always like a topic when I'm like smiling. I mean, I think sometimes we could probably name our podcast, like we could rebrand it and call it like the Nostalgia Podcast. A lot of times we're like looking back at, you know, when a lot of like sports when we were growing up, a lot of 80s and 90s and even music and movies too. So that's always really, really fun. I really enjoyed doing that list.
Nice. Me too.
The Skip and Josh Podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts. If you listen to the show through Apple Podcasts, please leave a review. To interact with the show, send an email to skipandjoshshow@gmail.com. Follow the show on Twitter and go to Facebook to like the show page. And now for some final thoughts from the guys.
I just want to tell you, and I discovered this, you know, months ago, but I never mentioned it to you. I mean, you have Spotify, I think, and you also have...
No, I have...
Oh, you don't
have... I have Apple Music.
Oh, okay. You have Apple Music. So I discovered another musical, or is it music streaming service? It's called Stingray. You may have heard of it.
Oh, well, they have those channels on the TV, right?
Yes, but like... you can have them on your computer. You can have it on your phone. It's just like Apple Music, except the difference is Stingray is free.
But can you search for like a specific song, or do you have to listen to like a playlist?
You can't search for a specific song, but you can search for a specific artist. And then if you play that playlist, eventually you're going to hear that song.
Yeah.
And then you can also say like, you know, when a song comes up, you can say, I don't like this song. And then they'll never play that song again. Or you can say you do like this song and they'll play that song more often. So it's quite good. I like it.
Have you been listening to like music now? Because while you're working, you listen to music. Is that what you do? Or
not this week, but yes, sometimes I do because I'm at home and I can do whatever I want. Right?
Of course, yeah. I listen to podcasts and music all day long.
I'm actually listening to less podcasts. I think I need to cut down on my podcasts.
That's funny. So, Josh, do you watch Jeopardy?
I never watch Jeopardy.
Did you hear about like Matea Roach, the girl, the 23-year-old girl from Nova Scotia? Well, she lives in Toronto.
Yes.
She won 23 games in a row on Jeopardy. I guess you heard about
it, right? Yes, I definitely heard about it. I heard about it when she was at like 15 in a row or something. I started to hear about it.
Look, you know, like I watch Jeopardy every day. We record it every night and I watch every episode. She was a joy. It was like the highlight of the year of Jeopardy was Matea Roach. Like, she was a joy to watch. She was so quirky and weird. And knowing that she's from Canada, like, when she finally lost, like, we recorded the next day's episode. And me and my wife were like, oh my God, there's no Matea tonight. Like, what are we going to do? I look forward to, like, the Tournament of Champions, which I think is in the fall. And I can't wait to see her again. Like, she was fun to watch. And just to stay with TV... we watched a show last week that is like, it's the number one contender right now for show of the year. I know we're only halfway through the year to get to like our end of year favorite show, but like I've got the first contender and it's this show on Apple TV called Severance. I think I started telling you about it maybe, but not on the show.
I've not heard of it. I don't think.
It is a complete like... mind bender. Like, we had to pause and talk about it and like what's happening and like what's going on here. Like, it's just like the show is completely nuts. It's about like they do something, you do this voluntary procedure in your brain, like a surgical procedure.
Oh, you did tell me about this.
Yeah. And when you go to work, you only know what's happening at work. You don't remember anything about your life outside of work. You don't know if you're married. You don't know if you have kids. You don't know if you live alone. You don't even know where you live. You don't know anything about your life. You don't even know anything about your outside life. Only know about what you're doing at work. And then when you're outside of work, you just know that you go to work, but you don't know what happens there. You don't know what you do. You don't know what happens for 8 hours a day. So, like, I know it sounds kind of weird and maybe a little simplistic, and I'm not explaining everything that happens in the show, but it's really, really tremendous. And, I mean, there's going to be season two, and I can't wait for season two. So, that's all I got to tell you about Severance.
So, I guess that's the end of today's episode.
Have a great rest of the week, Josh.
Okay, have a good week. Talk to you soon.